Well, we are pleased, once again, right before the Christmas holiday, to be joined by 6th District Republican Congressman Ben Klein. He's live by phone with WFIR anchor senior reporter Gene Moreno. And we're going to talk about several bills and budget action items coming up soon. Congressman Klein, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Gene. Joey, good to be with you.
Morning.
Good to have you with us, Congressman. As we get right to it, I know you wanted to talk about the Ensuring Accountability and Agency Rulemaking Act passed by the House that you co-sponsored. And Congressman Klein, what's that all about? And was there bipartisan support for it as it went to the Senate for a vote?
There was. There was bipartisan support. A handful of Democrats joined with us to pass this important bill, which actually will help reduce the number of regulations coming out of the federal government put forward by unelected bureaucrats. What we find is that this bureaucratic state is really just on autopilot, and there's no accountability there. So what this bill would do is require that any regulation that gets issued by the federal government has to be signed off on by somebody who's been nominated by the president and confirmed by the Senate. So you have a tie back to the voters through their elected senators to hold them accountable for the countless regulations that are being put forward that are increasing prices on all of us every day.
Good morning, Congressman. This is Gene. So by having that accountability, tying it back to, in a sense, making it more of a political thing, does that maybe give more pause before some of these things are signed off on? And you put a pretty steep price tag on these regulations.
Yeah, you know, the regulations, 25 of the rules that have been issued, according to a 2019 study, had an economic impact of more than $100 million. So that's the level that we put this accountability measure. But, you know, it is going to essentially tell these bureaucrats who are confirmed by the Senate, I better be careful before I sign off on these because the senators who elected me are going to hold me accountable. Now, it's very rare that they pull these elected bureaucrats back or these selected bureaucrats back, but that has been known to happen, and maybe it will happen with more frequency now.
I want to talk with Ben Klein, 6th District Congressman. I wanted to ask you, you're chair of the Budget Task Force, which has laid out a plan to break the cycle of resorting to omnibuses or continuing resolutions in a state of crisis, as you put it. And you came out with a very very detailed plan that would have the budget, number one, introduced by the president on time, get through Congress and signed off on by, I guess, June 30th before the new fiscal year starts. How realistic is that it gets done? I know I've heard from lawmakers on both sides of the aisle, though, that something needs to be done to get the budget, you know, done on a more timely basis. Would it lessen these, and also, Congressman, would it lessen these standoffs over the budget process?
It would. You know, the president's supposed to put his budget forward the first month of February, so we've got about a month, a little over a month, before he's supposed to have his budget out. And we haven't even finished the appropriations measures for the current fiscal year, for the last budget cycle. So we can't really sleepwalk through this anymore. The American people expect regular order from their government. That's all we're asking for, is just to follow the rules that we ourselves have put forward. So do the budget, which is the blueprint, and then give that number to the appropriators to appropriate through the 12 appropriations bills. It's been done before, it just hasn't been done very often lately. And that's because the Senate, in their infinite wisdom, doesn't want to allocate time on the floor of the Senate for what is their central job, which is spending the money. They would rather tie down the Senate schedule with a bunch of other measures and not do their jobs. So hopefully we can impress upon the senators the need to return to regular order and actually make a difference on this wasteful spending that's been really hamstringing us for so many years.
All right. I wanted to talk about something else. So you recently introduced the Federal Grant Accountability Act, which would ensure that higher education institutions are properly using taxpayer federal grant money, Congressman, solely to conduct research projects rather than use it for funding for diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. That's been an issue. I want to ask you about that. But on the other hand, do you not see any need for DEI initiatives in some schools?
Well, I think that they've gone overboard with these DEI initiatives. It's you just look at how much a college education costs for the average American family. The colleges are ramping up the costs to spend on all of these academic administrative positions. They're not actually spending it on the faculty, on the teaching. So what we need to do is to get back to basics when it comes to higher education. I mean, I personally would like to see the education institutions take more, get more skin in the game when it comes to these students. That, you know, when the students get out and they have $100,000 in debt and they can't find a job, shouldn't the education institution that actually promised to train them for a job be held accountable in some way? But that's not what this bill does. What this bill essentially does is it just says that in the grant, that some of the funding they do have to pay back when there is that waste and fraud in the system, that they'll be held accountable as well.
In other words, they have to use the money for what, I guess, the grant money, what it was intended for. And I guess, do you think there's enough oversight over some of these federal grants, or does it need to be more oversight in general over how this grant money is spent?
Yeah, what we'd like to do is to take back the power of the purse. I mean, Congress is supposed to be responsible for spending the money, not giving it to an agency and having them allocate it, because the agency itself is full of often people who want to enlarge the purpose of the federal government, spend more tax dollars, and make their jobs more important. So instead of actually doing what Congress wanted, they end up increasing the size and scope of the federal government. And so we need to take back that power. You'll see a lot more spending out of Congress on specific things, but that's where the power of the purse should be. It's where we get held accountable by the voters every 2 years for the job that we do. And quite frankly, my colleagues haven't been doing our jobs in terms of keeping on a spending schedule. And so, you know, we need to answer for that, whether we're pushing hard for it or whether we're making excuses for why the Senate's not getting it done. Our senators definitely get held accountable every 6 years. Virginia senators getting held accountable over the next couple of cycles, and we need to ask them why they can't get their appropriations bills passed.
7:51 at WFIR. We're joined this morning by 6th District Republican Congressman Ben Klein. Congressman, the Republican-led House of Representatives has voted now to formally authorize its impeachment inquiry into President Biden. What happens next? You're a member of the Judiciary Committee. So a couple of things here. Do you take the lead? And there's been criticism from other lawmakers that this inquiry is moving forward without any evidence linking the president to illegal activity, no smoking gun. So, Congressman Klein, your thoughts on that, if you will.
Well, we're going to follow the facts where they lead. I think that the evidence is mounting. I think that the idea that the checks that are flowing from agents of foreign governments, some of which include China and Russia, to members of the Biden family, in exchange for access to the president, and the president actually receiving portions of that money, is quite a lot of evidence, frankly. And so we are going to continue to follow the facts where they lead. This authorization of the impeachment inquiry was important because when we sue the Biden administration for Biden's tax records, which he has refused to give us up until now, the courts are going to look at whether the House voted to authorize this impeachment inquiry, because it lifts that burden to a higher level. And so the courts are going to demand that the Biden administration and the family hand over more of their tax documents to Congress.
And my understanding, Congressman, is that one of the reasons for the impeachment inquiry is that there was a lack of cooperation from the White House as far as getting certain documents. If the House had gotten those documents, do you think that the impeachment inquiry may not have gone forward, at least in the same way?
I think that it wouldn't have gone forward in the same way because the cooperation really wasn't forthcoming. And this is very similar to what the Democrats did when they had their impeachment. They voted right about this time of the year for the impeachment inquiry. And I think one of the reasons they were pushing to vote, and one of the reasons we were pushing to vote, is because once you get into a presidential election year, the politics overwhelm the policy. And what you really want to do is keep politics out of this kind of consideration, where you're really trying, as a member of the Judiciary Committee especially, to look at the facts and to determine whether those rise to high crimes and misdemeanors. And so that's what we're going to be doing over the next several months.
So do you know when the first hearing will be held, or first inquiry?
So we'll be receiving reports from the Oversight Committee, from James Comer and the Oversight Committee, and from the Ways and Means Committee about the new material that they've been gathering, and the Ways and Means Committee will issue a report, especially regarding the tax records of the president. And then the Judiciary Committee will probably be having hearings towards this early spring.
All right. We're talking with 6th District Congressman Ben Cline. We've got a few minutes left. I wanted to ask you about this. You and a number of colleagues want Treasury to roll back an interim final rule, IFR, that would allow state and local governments to, you know, as it was put in the release, hoard tens of billions of unspent COVID funds from the American Rescue Plan Act and allow them to spend it later. Where would that money go if it's not already spent? Should it come back to the federal government? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and that's essentially what the law has said, is that as part of these mammoth spending bills that Nancy Pelosi pushed through during COVID, there were points at which the money either had to be spent or returned. And these states and local governments can't just hang on to the money, or couldn't, till the Biden administration tried to end COVID and then say, well, all this money that you hung on to for COVID, you don't have to spend on COVID. Well, that's not really how we run the government. It's not how we should be stewards of the people's money. So let's go ahead and take some of this money back. We can actually help reduce the deficit that way, help control spending that way, and utilize it for purposes for which it was for which it should be purposed, to help the American people.
All right, a couple more things. Your thoughts on the supplemental aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and border security. Will that get done soon, Congressman? And is there maybe a silver lining from where you and some other lawmakers are looking at that? It may get lawmakers more on the same page about border security and immigration policy issues that really go back decades.
You're right. These are intractable issues, this immigration conundrum. But securing our border should be first and foremost what we do, because we do have a crisis going on right now where we have a humanitarian crisis, we have a drug crisis, we have a human trafficking crisis, and it impacts places like Roanoke. And so we do have to control our borders. That's one of the first jobs of the president, is to enforce our laws. And he has failed to do that through an ineffective border secretary. And so we do need to secure the border. And if that means holding up something that the administration wants, like their request for more money for Ukraine, and I'm concerned about the money that's already been spent on Ukraine not going where it needed to go. But this new request is going to be looked at pretty skeptically, because we do need accountability measures put in place. The administration's been reluctant. They haven't even been able to tell us how they want to see this war concluded. I mean, they say we'll spend as much as it takes for as long as it takes. Well, that's not really reasonable. So you have to ask yourself, what does victory look like? And then you also have to ask yourself, how do we help our friends in Israel, which is a different situation entirely. The only democracy in the Middle East, one of our closest allies, does need to receive assistance to continue this fight against Hamas, to defeat Hamas, to eradicate Hamas from the face of the earth. And it is a messy conflict, because Hamas hides behind civilians, but they do need the freedom and the ability to pursue Hamas to the very end. And so I will not support a ceasefire at this point. I think it would hurt Israel and their ability to protect themselves.
All right, we only have about a minute left, but I wanted to ask you, going back to the immigration thing, Mexico, for instance, is a very big trading partner with us. Don't we have any more way to apply more pressure or leverage to Mexico or other countries in Central and South America that they stop these waves of people coming through their territory before they hit the southern border?
Unfortunately, the Mexican government is really under the control of the drug cartels, and the drug cartels are calling the shots, and they make more money trafficking humans across the border now than they do trafficking drugs across the border. So when the cartels are really the main engine there. We have to stop the cartels, and that is going to require a little bit more willingness on the part of the administration to play hardball. They have wanted to just kind of let them do their thing, and we have to be more aggressive. And that actually does involve cross-border conversations involving the military. And that is a serious conversation, one that I don't think this administration is ready to have. But you have to treat these cartels as essentially a terrorist force, that has to be dealt with. And if our military is willing to deal with them as a terrorist force, then we could probably take some actions that would reduce their role in this crisis that we see at our border.
All right, Congressman Ben Klein, we'll have to leave it there. Congressman, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and thanks for joining us again.